if you want to get into real estate, know that real estate is a contact sport, meaning like it's about who you know. And the more contacts you have, the better off you'll be.
All right, everybody, we're back with another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor. I'm one of your co-hosts, Spencer Sutton. I got Matthew Whitaker here with me, and we're excited to have Caleb Frizzell on the show today. So Caleb is an associate director at Bracadia, based here in Birmingham. And man, Caleb, we're excited to have you here. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, excited to be on and to talk some Birmingham real estate with you.
Yeah, Caleb, we talked a little bit before the show. Tell us a little bit about your background. You went to school in California. You're from Oklahoma. How did you get to Birmingham and in the real estate business?
Yeah, so kind of a unexciting story. Just was originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where I grew up. And like you said, went to school in California, graduated in 2016, and moved back here to follow my now wife, who at the time was my girlfriend. And she's from here, grew up in Hoover, went to Spain Park High School. And so that's kind of how we got brought back, and always knew that that I wanted to be in the real estate business. Wasn't really sure what form that would take or what capacity it would be in. Of course, being in high school or in college and you know, wanting to get into business, it's every other guy you talk to wants to be in the real estate business. Generally speaking, nobody really knows what they're talking about though. And that was
until they get into it.
Right.
Everybody right. wants to be in it until they get into it.
Until they get into it. That's right. Right.
Realize it's hard.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that was me just kind of, you know, was telling people, yeah, I'm going to do real estate. Right. Which is hilarious when you think about how big yeah. that is, you know, but got here and right off the bat, was just trying to network and meet folks, knew nobody. My wife's parents aren't in the industry and really aren't associated in any way. So was just making calls. I probably met 40 people, just picking up the phone, Google Birmingham real estate companies. And I'd call one of the principals or, you know, one of the folks that was at the top on the team page. And I'd ask for a meeting and see if they had any openings. And of course, 99% of those were no's, but they ended up being good networking opportunities. And I've come in contact with a lot of those folks since then. And so it ended up being good. Never hurts to get in front of folks. And so anyway, through that was, let's see, from graduated in April and all the way until like September was just, you know, no luck at all.
Cold calling everybody.
Right, right. And, you know, most people were nice and friendly, but just wasn't, you know, being a, having no local connections, being an advertising major and having no real estate experience isn't a really compelling sales pitch, you know.
And nobody will tell you this, but being a California guy too was probably, we were holding it against you down here. Right, so. We actually have a lot of people that listen from California, so they'll think that, hopefully okay. that's funny.
Yeah.
It's a joke. It's a joke if you don't think it's funny and you're listening.
That's funny. So yeah, you know, didn't have a ton of people that were looking to onboard somebody with basically no experience. I was eager and willing to work hard, but everybody says that. So it's kind of hard to sell yourself at that point. And anyway, I was able to get in touch with David Oakley, who's kind of the founder of our office and who's a, you know, well-known name in Birmingham and really southeastern United States real estate industry. And we stayed in touch, kind of communicated at the time. They had a really big, you know, successful office here. They were the number one office in the country for Bracadia. They had like 7 brokers and did $1 billion in sales in 1 year. So they weren't necessarily looking to onboard anybody at that time. But we stayed in touch, and about October, I got a call from David. And we had just been kind of staying in touch, and he was like, hey, look, you know, we've had some brokers leave the office, and we have some openings. I think I'm ready to try to train somebody and kind of build the office back up. And so that was end of 2016, ended up not starting until early 2017. And since then, it just kind of been, probably took the first year and a half to really, year to year and a half to really get acquainted with the intricacies of multifamily and figure out how nuanced Birmingham is just by itself, and then to figure out the submarkets around it, and then Alabama as a whole. And then you have, you know, you have all your owners and your buyers and your sellers, not just locally, but regionally and then nationally, and figuring out that hierarchy and really getting a grip on all that takes a while, or it did for me at least. And so that was my, that was kind of the entrance into real estate for me. Didn't necessarily have a, you know, a lifelong dream of getting into multifamily. It just happened that way, and things have kind of turned out. Multifamily is a pretty good segment of the market to be in, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to find my place in, in a good industry and also in a good market. So I've had a lot.
It is a hot market right now. Talk. Yeah. I've got a bunch of questions about some of the things you said. Talk about the value of networking. It sounds to me like, yeah, you got turned down by 99.9% of your meetings, but those have come back around. So you planted seeds that now you have relationships with people. Talk about the value of networking in the real estate business.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's huge. And I, and the guys in the office and the guys that know me will tell you, I am not like, if I were to take a personality exam, I would be way on the introvert side of it. You know, I'm not a an extroverted person by nature. I do enjoy talking to people. I enjoy being social. So I'm not a hermit, but you know, I'm not by any means the life of the party. But I guess there comes a point where you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what do I really want? Do I really want to succeed? Do I really want to establish myself and have a meaningful, you know, career? If the answer is yes, you have to do what's necessary. And in real estate, it's, I remember a guy, I'm from Tulsa originally, and I met a guy that's with CBRE in Tulsa, and his name is escaping me. So I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast. he'll be insulted. But he told me, if you want to get into real estate, know that real estate is a contact sport, meaning like it's about who you know. And the more contacts you have, the better off you'll be. So I took that to heart, and against my kind of natural instincts of being more introverted and reserved, I kind of just put myself out there. Like I said, I started calling people, and a lot of, most of the, you know, meetings were good. I had some really awkward ones and some ones that make me cringe thinking back on still, but had mostly good ones. And I think it all kind of turned out.
You have to go through those meetings, though, really. You have to go through the awkward meetings to finally get to the good ones.
I think there's a lesson here. One of the things I've found over my years in the real estate business, I call it like a top of mind business. When you remain on people's top of mind, so you can't just network one time, but you want to be a number of people's top of mind when the problem arises to them. And then you're the first person that they call. And that's the way real estate is why networking is so important. It's about being that top of mind person when that person has a need and you getting the call. Because if you haven't done the work, maybe you did the work in the past and you've dropped off for 24 months, and then all of a sudden somebody else becomes top of mind. It's amazing how many leads we've gotten, Spencer, just because we were on top of somebody's mind. We had just met with them then they just happened to run into somebody and we just happened to get that lead.
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of interested because you said you didn't know that multifamily was where you wanted to go. So when you kind of thought about real estate and knew that you needed to start connecting with people and calling people, like, did you narrow it down to multifamily, or did you really say, hey, it's going to be commercial. If I can't get in commercial, I'm going to go into, you know, how did that process look?
Yeah. Good question. So I, as I alluded to, and I mentioned, I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had been in high school. I went to high school that it was a really good program. They had the third quarter, I guess, or your first quarter back from Christmas break was an internship quarter. And so when I was in high school, I interned with a couple different commercial real estate groups, and they were, you know, they were office, hotel, and retail. Both of them kind of were had their hands in a few different sectors, but they were local to Tulsa, and so I got some pretty good experience with that, just as far as seeing what the business entailed and kind of the nature of how the ins and outs and how things worked. But of course, a high school level internship, you're like 16, 17, you're not really getting to see that much or do that much, understandably. So, but it definitely opened my eyes to a lot, and it gave me, it just kind of, I think it was a spark. It gave me the idea of, hey, this is something, you know, I don't know specifically if I want to do office or retail or industrial or multifamily, but this is a field that I can see myself in, and everywhere I look, the people that are in it and who work hard do very well. And so, you know, it was compelling for me. And so when I first moved to Birmingham, and all throughout college too, I'll say, I kind of stuck with that and tried to educate myself more through those years as well. But when I first got to Birmingham, I was not going to be picky. You know, I needed a job, and I figured I would just figure it out as I go. You know, I've always had a lot of, you know, faith in myself just to be able to be resourceful and figure things out. That's kind of how I've always been. Never asked for favors or never had my parents, you know, do things for me. I always like to do things on my own. So I just started making calls, and I called, you know, office folks, retail folks. David, I think, was the only, maybe the only multifamily guy, because, you know, multifamilies, there's not too many of them in town. You know, so that was just kind of I just threw a wide net, and from there tried to narrow it down, and it's ended up being, you know, I think this is where I would have wanted to end up regardless. So
I'm curious how your advertising major has helped you, if any, in the real estate business.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think not as much as I would have liked to thought it would. You know, it's and I don't, get me wrong, Pepperdine's a great school. I'm not disparaging it in any way, but advertising was notoriously like the easiest degree program at Pepperdine.
And so you went to Malibu, California, and took the easiest degree.
Well, sure, you have to. Right.
I mean, this is making tons of sense.
That was a smart move.
Got into real estate with us.
Right. So, and
this sounds like Spencer and my career track. Although we
chose the wrong real estate. We chose property management. That was the wrong way to go.
That's funny. Yeah. So I mean, it's and I guess as I got into the program, I enjoyed it more and got a little more into it. So I'm not saying I just totally blew it off or whatever, but I think there are degrees and aspects of it that I actually have taken a lot from and can implement. I'd say the most relevant example would be with our marketing packages and some of the displays and images and graphics and stuff we put together in our marketing packages. That actually, I would say, has probably been what I learned through graphic design programs and just general, you know, kind of basics of advertising and psychology of advertising. Those are some things that I have taken with me and that I've been able to implement. And I think it's benefited our, you know, marketing to an extent. Yeah.
And if you think about it, if somebody's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on a building or a series of buildings, then you want the advertising for that to look like that. They're going to spend millions of dollars. The last thing you want is a over photocopied version of some, you know, listing that you can barely even see the picture anymore. So that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of it too is about making people feel good about listing it with you, because you're going to put together a good package. Buyer also wants to really feel the what that building means and, you know, the value of that building that they're about to spend all that money on. So that makes a lot of sense. Let's jump into Birmingham, because it is a Birmingham focused show, and you said Birmingham's very nuanced, and I agree. I would love to know what you're learning currently about Birmingham, and just kind of give us your thought, general overview thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I'll kind of disclaim that by saying Birmingham and Alabama are the markets that I kind of grew up in multifamily with. So I'm assuming when I say Birmingham is nuanced, it is very much so. In relation to other places, though, I don't really have a gauge for whether or not it's more or less, but I would say just based on kind of general market you know, indicators, there is a lot of interesting pockets within Birmingham that are very particular and unique that I can get more into in a minute. But yeah, I think as far as Birmingham as a whole and in general things that I'm seeing and that our office is seeing is a shift really back towards the center of town, which isn't really unique to Birmingham in a lot of ways. You're seeing that nationally as you see urban areas and downtowns resurge. There's a movement back into the city centers, and obviously with Avondale and Lakeview and now just north of downtown where they're building the new arena and central downtown, you've got a lot of growth happening. And so people are migrating back in, and, you know, I think that has been good for multifamily, and I think we'll continue to see that trend into the future, at least in the near future.
When someone calls you up and they've never been to Birmingham, what do you tell them to essentially sell them on Birmingham?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it really depends, because when we are selling a property, we don't sell Birmingham as much as we sell where it is in Birmingham, right? Because if you have a property in Inslee Highlands, your story is going to be different than it would be in Mountain Brook, obviously. Birmingham is, as you know, it's kind of the slow and steady market. It always has pretty, you know, moderate positive growth, but it's always positively growing and by all the major metrics. And so that's what we'll point to if buyers or interested parties ask us for a general overview of the market. We'll point to the major employers, you know, how Birmingham is a very recession-proof economy because of our basis in healthcare and education, with obviously anchored by UAB. So those are the kind of things we point to generally. Specifically though, we typically will try to focus on submarkets. So for example, if we've got a property down in Hoover, we'll focus on the school systems in Hoover, we'll focus on the retail corridors of 280 and 459 and 31 and the access that it gives people to not just employers and kind of entertainment hotspots in the area, but also throughout the region. So I don't know if that answers your question, but we generally try to stay away, or at least I do, try to stay away from getting too broad. And I like to have people focus on where specifically they're buying.
All right, let's narrow down. And yes, that absolutely answers the question, but let's narrow down to some of the submarkets that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Hoover. What are some other areas that you think are hot and why?
Yeah. So I would say Hoover is was the largest submarket in Birmingham. I would say it kind of carries over a lot of the characteristics of Birmingham as a whole. It's not a rapid growth market, but it's steady. It always has positive figures as far as employment and population growth and income growth and real estate values and things like that. They're always climbing slowly but surely. Hoover, I would say, you know, one of the biggest things we point to is the school systems in Hoover. You've got great schools, especially if you get kind of further down into the down 280 where Spain Park is and stuff. And so we try to we try to focus on, when we're talking Hoover specifically, we talk retail, we talk about, you know, largest suburban area, talk about employers and school systems, things like that.
That's great. Yeah, Hoover's a really hot market. It has been, you know, a great market for a long time, mm-hmm. very much a upper middle class market in Birmingham. And there's a lot of anything from single family houses all the way up through multifamily. They have two high schools there. The Galleria, which is a big shopping mall, is in Hoover. Just definitely the biggest kind of city outside of Birmingham around here. So let's talk about other submarkets that you're excited about outside of Hoover.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, I think Homewood is always a really popular submarket. It is, you know, when you talk about affluence and, high real estate values, high income for residents, you talk about Mountain Brook, you talk about Homewood, and you talk about Vestavia typically. Of course, there's pockets of Hoover that are up there as well. But those are kind of your three main submarkets. And Mountain Brook and Vestavia are kind of out of the conversation because neither of those markets
Have a lot of multifamily, right?
Right. There's very limited supply. There's lots of restrictions on new development. Most of the owners there are long-term holders, or their pricing is just way beyond what anybody would want to pay. And understandably so. So as far as affluence goes, you know, Homewood is really the primo, you know, multifamily market, I would say, where you actually have a chance of getting a deal. Now there's obviously exceptions to that, but Homewood, I would say, is probably the most exciting multifamily market in or submarket in Birmingham. And, kind of for the reasons talked about earlier with Hoover, they've got terrific schools, they've got terrific accessibility to downtown and through Birmingham. It's a kind of a boutique neighborhood community almost. They've got parks, they've got, you know, all kinds of amenities, fun retail and restaurants. And so I think it's a place people want to be. It is, and it's a place where young people want to be too. And so you get a lot of students, a lot of recent grads, a lot of young professionals, folks like that, they're wanting to rent there, move there. And so I would say Homewood's definitely one that I'm excited about, that I think everybody's excited about. And then also there's, you know, your markets kind of directly east of downtown, Lakeview, Avondale. Those, of course, are different, but also I think equally exciting, just in somewhat different ways.
Yeah, so Homewood is just south of town, just south of the city of Birmingham, and then the Lakeview, Avondale area are just east. And that's an area that's over the last 10 years has really come a long way. It started with Avondale Brewery, which a friend of Spencer and I started, and it's really seen some gentrification in that area, and there's really some momentum that's coming out of that Avondale area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always, for people that aren't familiar with Birmingham and for clients that we get into town that don't really know the area, it's kind of this little story I always tell people is, so my wife grew up here down the road, down 280 in Hoover. It's without traffic, you know, you're talking 20 minutes from where I'm sitting to where she is. And she lived here for 19 years and didn't go downtown one time, had never been. And when we moved back to Birmingham, it was the first time she'd ever been downtown. Wow. And I've talked to her friends and it's same thing. I mean, it was Birmingham has progressed so much, even in the 4.5 years I've been here, there's been so much growth downtown and in these immediate little pockets, Lakeview, Avondale, Highland Park, Southside, It's really amazing. And to see all that's going on, it's exciting to me, but it just, I think that I always like to tell people that because, and you guys know it better than me. You've been here longer than I have, but Birmingham's downtown was not a place you went, not too long ago. We're talking like 8-10 years ago. It's dramatically changed.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, I grew up in Mountain Brook and I never, like literally wouldn't hardly ever leave Mountain Brook. You just kind of hung out there and did everything there and you definitely didn't go downtown. So right. A lot has changed. And Matthew grew up in Vestavia.
Did y'all realize there was a world outside of Mountain Brook?
Matthew
when you
grew up in Vestavia and we wouldn't ever venture over across to Vestavia.
Yeah, right.
Talk a little bit about cap rates that you're seeing now. What can people expect to spend when they're buying in Birmingham?
Sure. Yeah, I think, and again, that's going to depend on where you are in the market. If you're, you know, talking Mountain Brook, like we just talked about, you're looking at fours, low fours, people would buy, there'd be people that would buy there in the high threes. And that's no joke. I mean, that's just kind of the market there. And I think the people that want to be in there really want to be in, but the people that already own there really don't want to sell. So I would say that's kind of an outlier. Homewood, for example, is a more active market. We are under contract on Valora at Homewood, I'm sure you guys are familiar with, of which half of the property roughly is in Homewood. And that is, I don't know right off the top of my head, but that's, you know, based on its in-place numbers, it's like a low five cap. So if you're talking Homewood, Vestavia, Mountain Brook, averaged in your, you know, low to mid fives, I would say. Hoover, you know, you're maybe not quite as pricey stuff, more in the high fives, I would say. Yeah, mid to high fives, depending on what you're buying. Again, it also depends on kind of your asset class. For kind of your typical down the fairway B class value add deal in an A area, which everybody and their mom is looking for,
right?
You know, you're in Hoover, you're looking at something in the mid fives probably on a trailing 12.
And let's say I'm a new investor and maybe I bought houses in the past, but now I'm ready to move up into small multifamily. What are some things that I need to know or things that I need to do before I get started or before I call you? What are you going to tell me when I call you first call?
That's an interesting question. Cause that has happened. Doesn't happen a lot, but that does happen. You know, people want to make the jump from single to multifamily, but it'll call us. And I think the first thing I would tell somebody is to partner up with a management company. I think people underestimate, especially the out-of-state investors, really underestimate the value of like a good local management company. And we have all kinds of, you know, contacts with managers willingly and happily put people in touch with that are new to the market. So we like to introduce people to management to kind of get a feel for what, you know, the different ways folks manage and the nuances that are associated with that. And really, I mean, for me, and I think for a lot of the people I talk to just on a personal level that ask, you know, how do I get involved? What do I need to do to get into multifamily? The answer is you just kind of have to do it. Like it's like getting into the stock market. You know, people are nervous. It's like, oh, do I buy Amazon now? Or what do I do? Do I wait for it to go down? I don't know. What if the recession hits? Like, I don't want to be caught holding the bag. And, you know, you got to do your homework. You got to study up on the property and then on the submarket and kind of what you're dealing with. But really, you just got to jump in and make a educated decision, but there's always an element of risk involved. And I think that, you know, if you're making the jump from single to multi, it's not terribly different. if you're talking about having, you know, a single family collection of single family properties, I don't think it's terribly different as far as, you know, the way things operate, but you just kind of got to do it. I mean, have strategic partnerships, do your homework, but then just dive in.
What about mistakes you see people make when they get in? Like, what's some newbie mistakes people can avoid?
Yeah, I think that, again, touching back on the management thing, one of the most typical mistakes we see people make, and it's not just, you know, it's not just some random investors that have some family money and want to put some money in an apartment complex. These are like some institutional quality, super well-known and well-regarded multifamily companies will come in and bring in out-of-state management or try to manage on their own. And it is a dumpster fire. And it's just, it's terrible. And they go, they'll go through two, three, four management companies over the course of 24 months. And then they'll say, I've had it. Birmingham's a terrible market. We're out of here. And they'll fire sale everything, you know. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake we see. Birmingham, like I alluded to at the beginning of our conversation, is very nuanced. And I can touch on that more. But the submarkets are very different. The type of renters you have are very different depending on where you are. And it can be across, you know, you can be across the highway and have a totally different type of property that has to be managed in a totally different type of way. And so I think that's a big mistake people make in Birmingham. Also, I'll say that not as commonly, but still pretty commonly, you know, for out-of-state investors, especially from the coast, they'll see stuff that pops up, you know, north of town or west of town that is typically, you know, your price per doors, or you can find stuff still in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and they think, oh, God, how can I lose money on that? That's so cheap. You know,
yeah, the real estate's worth that.
Right. And I have seen people blow it on completely, like, stuff that you would think to yourself, how do I lose money on that? And you can and you will if you don't have a strategy in place, whether it's for management or for value add. Whatever it is, you know, people who kind of think they're going to come in and wing it in a typically, you know, kind of sketchy, unsure area, that's a big mistake that we see get made here.
We see that happen all the time, too. As a matter of fact, I just met yesterday with some investors from DC who came down, and they had been led around and shown 30 different properties they're going to buy, a portfolio of houses, and sat down with me, and I just had to tell them the truth. I mean, you really have to know what you're getting into. And to your point, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have strategic partners, if you hadn't thought about all of the things that can go wrong, then you're setting yourself up for some major disappointment just based on the price. I mean, price is not going to be everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I've seen is people kind of step up in assets is they start to syndicate deals or they start to partner with other people. What have you seen people do successfully to raise capital? For instance, maybe I'm in all single family houses, but I want to step up to a multifamily property. Let's say I need $1 million to put down on the property. What have you seen? How have you seen people do that successfully? How have you seen that be a problem?
First, I'll say, you know, we've dealt with some of these big syndicate groups that, and for better or for worse, I don't really have some of them are some of the guys that are involved in it, guys and ladies as well, that are involved in these big syndicate groups. They really know what they're doing. And then some of them just try to hop in and think they've got this network of people ready to throw cash at them, but they don't know what they're doing. And so there's good and bad associated with some of these kind of almost, I'm sure you have lots of listeners that are interested in that stuff, but it's kind of funny. We talk about them almost like they're a cult. Some of them, you know, they have a leader that is, they have these conventions and they have these, you know, big Zoom calls, and they, you know, and the people look to these, you know, leaders as if they, you know, can do no wrong. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong, but we see that work occasionally. I would say also, you know, if you're really just trying to make the leap, from single to multifamily, or if you're just trying to get into real estate, most people are not, you know, buying a $50 million deal for their first foray into, you know, into real estate. So if you're trying to raise $1 million or 500 grand or 2 million bucks, whatever it is, I promise you, you know enough people just in your own network, whether it's friends and family or, you know, business associates, whatever. You'd be shocked at how many people, if you just ask around, are willing to and want to invest. They just don't know how. They don't know where to do it. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know somebody that they feel comfortable investing with. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's more than 50% of the people you know would be interested. You know, $1 million sounds like a lot of money, but I promise you there's plenty of people out there that've got 50 or 100 grand that be willing to go in on multifamily property.
Yeah, especially if you're willing to put your own money in there and invest alongside of them. At least they know you're putting your money where your mouth is. And if something goes wrong, at least you know, hey, I did my best because my money was at risk too.
This has been good.
Yeah. Caleb, I really appreciate this. This time has really flown by. You've given us a lot of good information. How would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to contact you maybe about investing?
Yeah. I mean, the best way to get a hold of me would just be either phone call or an email. You know, we're very on top of it here, and we always love meeting new folks and making new connections. And so, yeah, an email or a phone call would be the first best step, and we'd take it from there.
All right, great. I will put, I've got your link to your Berkadia profile, so I'll put that up in the show notes and we'll let everybody know how to contact you. So, Caleb, man, thanks again so much. It was great getting to know you and hearing more about your experience here in Birmingham. So, all right, everybody, this was another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor. If you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and do it anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode.